Today, more signals for an Oz rate hike incoming. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, where that is post covering finance and property news. Well, the new deputy governor at the RBA said last week that when it comes to a rate decision, they look at many different measures, apart from the recently released monthly series, which showed a lift to 4% inflation last time in May. And now in May, before any tax cuts or other government help has hit, Australian retail sales rose by more than expected, with spending largely driven by discounts in the face of elevated borrowing costs, an outcome that further perhaps strengthens the case for an interest rate hike this year. As a result, yields on policy-sensitive two-year bonds rose to 4.289% as traders boosted the odds for an interest rate hike this year, and stocks paired gains, with the ASX 200 closing still in the green at 7,739.90. National Australia Bank's Taplis Strickland said that the data does add to rate hike probabilities for August, though it is still unclear given the hints at discounting mentioned by the ABS. Consumer spending could rise in earnest from this quarter, given that tax cuts will provide a shot in the arm to households' real incomes, said Capital Economics. However, we suspect that households will choose to bank most of their tax cuts. Retail sales, of course, can be an important consideration in policy decisions, given consumption accounts for more than half of gross domestic product in Australia. The Reserve Bank of Australia has repeatedly highlighted that the outlook for household spending remains a key uncertainty following its 13 rate hikes between May 2022 and November 2023. Australian retail turnover rose 0.6% in May, according to the season-adjusted figures from the ABS, making it the biggest increase in 4 months. The outcome, which was double the pace that analysts had expected, followed a 0.1% gain in April and a 0.4% fall in March. The ABS said that retail turnover was boosted this month by watchful shoppers taking advantage of early end of financial year promotions and sales events. Retail businesses continue to rely on discounting and sales events to stimulate discretionary spending, following restrained spending in recent months. Despite the season-adjusted rise, underlying spending remains stagnant, with retail turnover flat in trend terms compared to May 2023. The trend is up only 1.5%. Now, we should highlight that with a population growth of around 600,000 in the past year and inflation running circa 4%, we should absolutely be expecting to see retail turnover lifting as people pay more for the things that they buy and more people buy them. But this analysis from Shane Oliver at AMP shows the significant drop in retail volume per capita. Value and volume are different and important measures, which I think the ABS should be more explicit about. The nominal retail sales may be rising, but the real retail spending per person remains in the gutter. Despite a slightly better tone, the May retail results still points to a consumer under intense pressure. Strong population growth doing a lot to cushion the hit to retailers, said Westpac senior economist Matthew Hassan. However, turnover in most non-food related industries rose in May. Clothing, footwear and personal accessories retailing had the largest rise at 1.6%, following two consecutive falls in April and March. Household goods retailing was up 1.1% and other retailing was up 0.2%, while department stores fell down 0.9%. Many retailers started end of financial year sales early, offering larger discounts than usual, and noted that shoppers remain price sensitive in response to persistent cost of living pressures. Food-related spending was mixed, with a rise in food retailing up 0.7% and a small fall in cafes, restaurants and takeaway food services down 0.1%. The growth in food retailing was driven by a large rise in liquor retailing, up 6.1%, after a large fall in April, down 7.4%. People appear to have returned to usual purchasing habits after opting for cheaper alcoholic products in March, stocking up more than usual in the lead-up to Easter, resulting in a lower growth rate in April, the ABS said. Large cultural events continue to impact cafes, restaurants, and takeaway food services, with the fall in May a reversal of increased spending associated with the LIV Golf Adelaide and the AFL Gather Round in South Australia last month. Mr. Hassan said Victoria, though, was in the slow lane, which also reflected soft consumer sentiment. Per person spending in the state was down 4.5% from a January 2023 peak. Conversely, Western Australia's booming housing market, state government surpluses, support for households, and a strong business sector, supported by the mining sector, had performed very strongly. It's a broad-based supportive environment in the West, and it looks pretty sustainable, Mr. Hassan said. Western Australia's per-person retail sales were up 23% since before the pandemic. That's the highest of the states, though they were still down from a peak of 27% in late 2022. The largest falls have occurred since late last year. Retail turnover rose across most of the states and territories. Western Australia was up 1.3% and Victoria up 1.2%, and the only jurisdictions to record growth above 1%. Turnover growth in Western Australia has been lifted by the restoration of the Trans-Australian Railway and Air Highway freight routes. They were shut down due to major flooding in March, which negatively impacted the supply of retail goods. But New South Wales and South Australia were both down 0.1%. And they were the only jurisdictions to have a fall this month, having recorded the largest rises in April. All up, to me, while there is a better tone in this number, many consumers remain under intense pressure, while strong population growth is working its magic in cushioning retailers from the worst impacts and allowing them to retain and build margin. Other data, though, suggests more vehicle sales slowed into the financial year end, and while the tax cuts might give a further boost to sales, it will also potentially boost inflation too. And here is another data point, as the ABS has also released the dwelling approvals data for May, again a volatile series, which show that the total number of dwellings approved rose 5.5% in May after a 1.9% rise in April, according to seasonally adjusted data. The ABS said the rise in approvals in May was driven by private sector dwellings excluding houses, which rose 16.3%. Private sector house approvals also rose, but by 2.1%. This is because units tend to come in large blocks, so one approved development could have many separate dwellings. Total dwelling approvals rose in all states, with Western Australia leading the rise up 19.6%. That was followed by Victoria, 8.9% higher, Queensland up 6.3%, South Australia up 4.1%, Tasmania up 3.8%, and New South Wales just 2.9%. And meanwhile, approvals for private sector houses increased in Western Australia up 8.4%, New South Wales up 5.9%, and Queensland up 3.7%, but fell in Victoria down 3.4% and South Australia down 1.9%. And the value of total buildings approved rose 0.6% to $13 billion. This followed a 0.7% fall in April. And the value of total residential buildings rose 2.3% to $7.6 billion. That was made up of a 4.4% rise in new residential buildings and a 9.3% fall in alterations and additions. And the value of non-residential buildings approved fell 1.6% to $5.4 billion after a 0.7% rise in April. So standing back, JP Morgan Australia Chief Investment Strategist Tom Kennedy said that the ABS retail data remained difficult to decipher, though the May result did not alter the bank's view that the underlying pace of spending would remain fragile. Australians, though, could pump close to half of the $23 billion Stage 3 tax cuts back into the economy, according to Westpac, which raises doubts about official projections that the extra cash will almost entirely be stashed away. The question for economists is whether the increase in incomes will be saved or spent. The latter, of course, could put upward pressure on inflation and potentially force the Reserve Bank to raise interest rates again. Consumer-facing firms already have reported sharply lower profits as cost of living pressures force households to rein in spending, as economists warned of ongoing softness until those tax cuts and government stimulus hopefully breathe some new life into the economy. The drop-off in spending has already triggered profit warnings at, say, Baby Bunting, James Hardy, Eagers Automotive, and Peter Warren Automotive. I could go on. And the ASX rate tracker is now seeing a high of 4.47% in November and back down to 4.35% in June next year. So the bottom line is, I think the markets are correct in reading all of this data as a reinforcing sign that rates may need to go higher to snuff out inflation. But it is not definitive yet, as there is more data water to go under the bridge. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.